This time the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. Now, today I recognize when we talk about the peace of God, I find that sometimes that resonates as something we've experienced. There are other times it resonates as something we're desiring, that we want, and we know we're not there. We know that we're in turmoil or we're struggling. And wherever you're at this morning, I think it's a pretty safe assumption that each one of you probably has some concern that you're carrying today. And some of you are probably facing some significant challenges that really are threatening that feeling of an experience of God's peace. You're having a hard time getting your eyes off the circumstances and seeing where God is coming around and surrounding you and lifting you up in the midst of that. And I so appreciate the worship team this morning and the time that they put in choosing music that really leads us to the biblical text because it just flows right from the scripture that we're looking at today. As we were praying, the elders and I were praying this morning, I expressed my desire is that today not just be something that you walk away with better understanding of the scripture, but that as we talk about the peace of God, that wherever you're at, whether you're experiencing that peace or not experiencing that peace, that you know that this morning that you've experienced his peace and that you take that peace with you. That's my heart's prayer for each of you. I've shared before a conversation that I had a few years ago when Dave Casey and them were preparing for their move south, and I had the same reaction as most of you did when I first heard that they were considering that. Not only miss Dave's involvement in the life of the church, but I miss him as a friend and someone, regular cups of coffee and conversation. But, you know, one of the things that was just so clear is like, you know, I'm never in a place to play God in a person's life, in either of you. Like we have to trust God's leading in someone's life, even if we don't like the way God is leading them. I remember, and some of you were here, you know everything that was going on, that that Dave and his father, Rick Casey, were in the process of closing down their business, both relocating down to Richmond. And in the midst of that move and all the preparation of closing the business and selling what they're on, all the details of selling everything and caring for their customers and passing the torch in that sense, Rick was diagnosed with a tumor. And I mean, it was like a perfect storm. And I remember though talking to Dave, and Dave just looked at me and it's like, I just have a peace. And when the family talked about everything, especially after hearing about Rick's diagnosis, and they were talking as a family, and they all described a peace that didn't make any sense. And it reminded them, they knew that God was with them. And I remember just saying, that's that peace that passes all understanding. Not my words, the scripture that we're reading this morning reminds us that God's peace passes all understanding. It's something that it's beyond our circumstances, beyond our control. It's something that God gives us as a gift. And so I want to encourage you to turn to Philippians 4, looking at verses 4 through 7. But as we look at this passage, we're continuing in the book of Philippians. We have a few more weeks and then we'll be done, but when we look at this passage, I think it's a good reminder, especially today with some of the language that Paul uses, especially in verse 7, is that, remember, Paul is writing from prison. He's writing from prison to a church that he cares deeply about, a church that he helped found. And so he's experiencing trial. He's experiencing circumstances that are challenging. And not only is he in prison, we know as we've walked through this book that he has people that are using the fact that he's in prison as an excuse to attack him and his ministry, and is just really challenging him. He has, we could say he has, quote, every right to be upset. Or maybe every right to be angry or irritable and not really experiencing the peace of God. And yet, Paul not only demonstrates it, but in these verses, he's challenging every one of us, not only the church in Philippi, but each one of us. God's word through Paul is challenging us to examine our own hearts and our own lives and ask, are we experiencing the peace of God? What you're going to see in these verses in chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, there are four commands. Two of the commands are intricately connected. But there are four commands, and they all lead to a promise. And when we read Scripture, it's really important that we understand that many times the promise that we want to claim, the promise that we want to hold on to and embrace, often those promises are tied to a condition, tied to a command, something that we need to do so that we can experience and receive and hold on to and embrace that promise. And so I want to read the whole passage here. It's a short passage. But then we're going to just walk through each of those commands. And I want to start, though, reminding us of what the promise is and then walk through each of the commands that give us the instruction of what we have to choose so that we can experience the promise of God's peace. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. That's what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness or gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So let's zero in on verse 7 there in the promise. We're going to start there and then we'll end there as well. That promise is the peace of God. It's not a peace that we create. It's not a peace that we can try to muster up in the sense of like fake it until we make it. That doesn't work with this. This is something that we put our focus, we put our hearts in a certain place and in our relationship to the Lord that we receive as a gift from Him, a peace that only He can give. That statement is not just peace. It's not just that he gives us peace. He gives us the peace of God. It's from his hand. It's from him. He is the source of this peace. And it goes on to say that peace surpasses all understanding. That's that conversation with Dave that said, you look at the circumstances and the concern about the business and the relocating and his father's health and what all that meant. And it was this perfect storm. And yet in the midst of it, they knew God was present because God had given them peace. And I know some of you have experienced that. Some of you are experiencing that now. Some of you have experienced that in the past. You've experienced that peace that doesn't make any sense in your circumstances. I can say that over the last two, three years, I have had moments that I cannot explain other than God giving me peace in difficult personal circumstances. But I also want to be honest to say there have been days and moments that I struggled to hold on to that peace. And that's why we have to look at this passage and remind ourselves that the promise is always there. The peace of God is always there and available to us. But we have to choose to trust Him. We have to choose to accept the peace that He has for us and in the way that He instructs us and even in these verses of how we might experience His peace. So let's walk through the commands. The promise is the peace of God, a peace that is from God. He is the source of this peace. It's a gift from God. And it's a peace that transcends our circumstances. It passes all understanding. When people look at our life and say, how can you be at peace in the midst of what you're facing? The only explanation is, well, God has given me His peace. That's the promise. But to get there, we need to understand the commands. And in verse 4, we see the first command. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, sometimes we when we think about a command that is connected to emotion, a command that is connected to, in some sense, it's really hard to separate this from some sense of emotion or desire. It is a command, but it is also a sense, there is a sense that this is a feeling. This is an experience. And we have to look at this and we have to ask ourselves, well, is it, I think in our culture, so much of our feelings are something that we view as out of our control. We kind of view that ourselves as like we're just tossed in the wind and going throughout life, and we have no sense of any order or control in our life. And And so when we hear the idea of choosing joy, to rejoice, and that really is what that means, to choose joy. To rejoice is to choose joy in our life. And Paul makes it clear. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And I say it again, I will say, rejoice. He's giving us the clear command to say we have to make the choice to choose joy. And it's not necessarily joy for what we are experiencing in that moment, but that short phrase, in the Lord, is so critical. It's rejoice, choose joy in the Lord, is reminding us that that's telling us where we find joy. Our circumstances might warrant being joyful, might warrant being happy. Sometimes our circumstances might warrant or justify our being unhappy or not experiencing peace or joy. But no matter what circumstances we face, in the midst of that circumstance, we can make a choice. And that's why this is a command. We can choose to be obedient and to choose in that moment to say, these are my circumstances. I'm not going to look at my circumstances, but in this moment, I'm going to look to the Lord and I'm going to choose joy in the Lord. The in the Lord, again, is reminding us of where we find our joy, where we can find this joy that God is calling us to. This is reflected so well in the words. I know I've shared this story, and many of you know this story and could tell it better than I can. But one of the hymns, the hymn that we just ended with before I came up to speak, the classic words from It Is Well With My Soul, Horatio Spafford's story, is an incredible story. The words are powerful enough, but then when you understand the story that in the Chicago fire, he lost most of his business. And then a short time after that, gets the word that his children died at sea. And then later, as he's crossing the Atlantic, he's at the location where his children died when God, I believe, gave him the words of this song. We wouldn't still be singing it if God didn't give him the words of that song. And it's in that moment, as standing over his children's grave, that he writes, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot," we don't use that term that often, you could say whatever my circumstances, "whatever my circumstances, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And in each of we don't always sing every verse of the hymn, but we sang them all today because you see the full picture of everything Jesus has done for us. And that's where in the words of the song and from his heart and his life, he's saying, I've experienced loss. I've experienced heartache. I've experienced grief. But even in the midst of this pain, it is well with my soul, not based on the circumstances, but based on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for me. We have to choose joy. And so if you're here today, whatever your circumstances are, I want to ask you, are your eyes fixed on the circumstances? And if you're here and you're feeling joyful and you're feeling happy because your circumstances are good, just know when your circumstances go in a different direction, if that's where you're finding your joy, if that's where you're finding your contentment, you're setting yourself up that when the circumstances change, what you experience will change. We can be grateful and we can be happy about the things that we happen in our life, but we need to understand that whether we're experiencing success in good times or whether we're experiencing pain in difficult times, we have to choose joy from the Lord, in the Lord. Paul goes on to give another command in verse 5. Philippians 4:5, he says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." The best word, if your translation, some of you may have a translation that uses the word gentleness. If not, you might even write that down. I think it makes more sense to me than reasonableness. That idea of reasonableness or gentleness can be described as being gracious, being forbearing, patient. some of the commentators talked about using the word tolerance. I think we steer away from that because of how that's used in our culture. And yet there's actually a call to that. That sometimes we can be right and be totally wrong in how we react to people. Say that again. We can be right and be totally wrong in how we act toward people. We have to be gracious. We have to be merciful. We have to be forbearing. The command is to let your reasonableness, your gentleness, be known to everyone. And now the command here is to let it be known. And what be known? Let your gentleness, your reasonableness, so that when people think and they reflect on you, and someone thinks, okay, when I think of Josh, or when I think of Stacy, or when I think of their life and their actions, what I witness, is gentleness and reasonableness, patience, forbearing, or those words that come to their mind? And to make this more difficult, because some of us probably in some spheres of our life, we can say, yeah, I do a pretty good job in that. But then when we start examining every aspect of our life and remember that this command is clearly put in the context of not let your reasonableness or gentleness be known to some people, it's let it be known to everyone. This is a constant that whether we're with our family, whether we're with our coworkers, whether we're with our friends, our enemies, even if you may not claim any, those people that rub you the wrong way, whatever, that person that cuts you off in traffic, that's actually, some of you, that might be a challenge. Let your reasonableness, your gentleness be known while you're on I-90 heading south. I would even say in today's world of social media, so many interactions that while it's, I think sometimes we lose the fact that there's actually another person on the other line. And I realize, and I want to say this strongly, I think we live in a world that we clearly understand that our convictions and what we hold on to as truth is being challenged daily. But if we lose our testimony in our actions, in our words, or in our social media posts, and we are not known as a people who are gentle, forbearing, merciful and gracious in how we react to people, even when we strongly disagree with them, we are losing our testimony in Christ. And in doing that, we're also losing the ability to know God's peace, because we in that moment think that we have to win this battle, we have to win this fight. And by focusing on that, we fall down this path of getting irritable. And let me think, pause for a second. Have you experienced this moment, whether it's someone face-to-face that you're struggling with, or you get into a social media battle? Do you ever have that moment, that experience, where at first it just feels like a little pinch, a little bit of discomfort, a little bit of frustration towards that person? And the more that you nurse that, the more that you react to it, it grows. And it grows. And it grows. And then sooner or later, you're acting in ways that you realize you're out of control. Been there. This week, I've been there. We have to be aware enough of our behavior and aware enough of our thoughts and our experiences to know that when we start down that path, we're not going in that moment and in that experience. That's not a path towards the peace of God. That's a path towards frustration and anger and hurt that will prevent us from experiencing the peace that God wants to give us. I think the first command, that makes a little more sense to us initially. The idea that we have to choose joy no matter what our circumstances. But this idea of a command of let your gentleness, reasonableness, your patience and forbearing be known to everyone, how that relates to peace, I think that's where we have to think about that slide that we can experience. And some of you, that's a long slide. Some of you can be really, you're just super patient, super gracious, and it takes a lot to get you. Some of you are like this. like, and it's, that can be different for different people that you're with, right? But if you can connect and understand how our irritability, our lack of patience, our frustration or our anger, when we begin to let those things build in our life, that's when we can understand how that robs us from experiencing God's peace. You know, there have been times as I've reflected on the great theologians of Bob and Larry, the VeggieTales, that they got a lot of things right. I'm not saying everything, but they got a lot of things right. And one of my favorites, if you remember the spinoff series, yeah, VeggieTales had a spinoff series, if you were not aware, Larry Boy. Do you remember Larry Boy? My favorite Larry Boy episode was Larry Boy and the Angry Eyebrows. Anyone see that? The eyebrows. Oh, thank you, Ethan. Is Ethan the only one that raised his hand? Okay, there are a few of it. And again, it's an animated, instead of the cool computer animation, it was like the old flat animation that I grew up with. But but in the video, the idea and the story is these angry eyebrows, they float around, the villain let these loose, and they wouldn't bother you unless you hold on to the anger. Unless you choose to say, no, I want this one, I'm going to hold on to this one. And so that those angry eyebrows would just float over and land on the person's face, and then they'd be controlled and irritable and controlled by that anger and the frustration. And it would change their behavior, change the way that they were acting. Now, if you all end up down at Family Video trying to rent this, I can't promise that they're going to have it, but it's worth watching if you haven't seen it. But you can picture that idea. We get that idea to say, in that moment, that person that rubs us the wrong way, or that person who's posting something that really just bothers us, and we feel like we need to win this battle. Whatever it is, we start feeling that pinch, and we when we have a choice in that moment, sometimes we feel like it's out of our control. We always have a choice. We have a choice in that moment to choose the peace of God, or to choose to let the anger and the irritability and everything else rob us from the peace of God. We can choose gentleness in every aspect of our life, in every area of our relationship. If we want to experience the peace of God, we need to choose reasonableness, gentleness, so that we can experience God's peace in our life. The next two commands are connected. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. That's the first half. That's command number one. Do not be anxious about anything. But, the contrast, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So there's a command that in anything, don't be anxious. There's language here in this contrast of in anything versus in everything. Do not be anxious in anything. But instead, let your requests be made known to God in everything. This contrast is intricately connected. The command presents the choice. When something comes to us and it causes anxiety and it causes us concern, we have a choice in that moment to say, I'm going to choose to be anxious. I'm going to choose to try to fix this myself. I'm going to choose to worry, choose to stew on this. Or I can take that concern and be, and this is where he unpacks it, I can take that to God in prayer with supplication. I mean, that's all of these words are basically saying the same thing. I'm making a request to God. I'm presenting a petition. I'm taking something to him. That's our choice. We either choose to be anxious, or we choose to say, I'm going to quit fighting this battle. I'm going to give it to the Lord, and I'm going to trust him. And we do that with thanksgiving, knowing that's a gift. We don't do this lightly. We understand that to be able to take our cares and concerns, to go to the creator of the universe, to go to our Savior, the one who loved us so much to send us his Son, that we can take our concerns, the things that are bringing us anxiety and that we're fretting about, and we can lay them at the Lord's feet and trust him to care for us. That is a gift, and we should be thankful when we bring those things to him. When we do this, this brings us again to verse 7 and brings us to the promise. If we're willing to take these steps, to choose these things, we can experience the peace of God. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Remember that the peace of God is a gift. We're not just talking about God giving us peace. We're talking about God giving us his peace. It's the peace of God. And it's a perfect peace. A peace that transcends our circumstances. A peace that transcends our situation. It's a gift that the Lord desires to give us when we would just trust him. We can choose the joy of the Lord instead of our circumstances. We can choose, I mean, again, we have a choice. We look at the circumstances and let that keep us from joy, or we choose, even in the midst of our circumstances, to remember who Christ is and what he has done for us, and that we are not alone, that God is with us, and we can choose joy. In every area of our life, we can choose gentleness and reasonableness in how we respond to others. But when those cares and concerns seem overwhelming, we can choose, rather than choosing anxiety, we can, and to be anxious about the situation and be feeling like we're alone in addressing it, we can choose to give that thing to the Lord and take it to him in prayer. All of this reflects Jesus' own teaching in Matthew 6. When Jesus talked about not worrying and calling us to a life in the kingdom, he pointed to the lilies of the field and he pointed to the sparrow. One of my favorite gospel songs, "His Eyes on the Sparrow." Song I'm still trying to wait for my daughter to sing sometime. I want to hear her sing that. Did you sing it here? Okay, sorry. Okay. Something I'd like to hear my daughter sing again. But the words of that song remind us of that truth that Jesus presents in Matthew 6. If God can care for the sparrow, if he can so beautifully clothe the lilies of the field, I think he can care for us. Verse 31 in Matthew 6 says, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." It's that all these things we struggle with. "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is the day of trouble." Today, as we prepare to close, and the worship team is going to come and lead that new song again that really resonates with this message so well. If you're here today and your hearts are heavy, you're struggling, the peace of God sounds like something you want, something you desire, but you're not experiencing it, I want to encourage you even in this moment to choose to look beyond the circumstances and choose joy. Know that God loves you. He loves you, loved you enough to send Jesus for you. He died on the cross for you. He rose again. He ascended to heaven, and he's coming back for you. And we can put our trust and our faith in him that no matter what circumstances we face, we have reason for joy. We can choose to be gentle, even with that person that drives us nuts, that person that rubs us the wrong way, that person that we disagree with everything, who they are and what they stand for. I firmly believe, now I know this is supposed to be summary, but to re-hit on that point, if we want to have an effective testimony in today's world, we have to move beyond the idea of just wanting to be right. We need to be committed to truth, but we need to understand that we're always, in any call to truth, there's a call to still be gracious and loving and patient and forbearing in how we deal with people. We can choose, but remember that by not choosing those things, it's the whole angry eyebrow experience. And if you choose to hold on to the resentment, hold on to the frustration and the anger, you are robbing yourself of the peace of God. But we also can remember that we're called to trust God and to take our concerns to Him in prayer. That's a gift. And we need to, with thankfulness, take whatever concern weighs on our hearts, take it to the Lord, to trust Him, to work in that situation. When we do that, we have the promise that God will give us His peace. He will provide for us. It may not be in the way that you expect, but He will be present with you and He will provide. And we can trust Him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You for Your word. Lord, this is one of those passages that when we read it, we realize just how much it resonates with our life experience from day to day. Because none of us can do this naturally. Lord, to experience Your peace that transcends all understanding, that transcends our circumstances, our situations, Lord, there's really nothing natural about that. But it is a choice that we can make, to choose joy in the midst of our circumstances, to choose to be gentle and forbearing and gracious and not be controlled by our anger and irritability. And to choose to trust You and to bring our cares and concerns to You. Lord, help us to have that picture in our hearts and our minds, Lord, of You extending Your hand and us taking Your hand and walking with You and trusting You, even when the way seems difficult. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.